Hey, everybody, this is Rick Moyer from Take Him With You, and I have the privilege and the honor this morning of being able to present a message at the Mackenzie Road Baptist Church in Olympia with Pastor Dan Panter, and his daughter is the youth leader there. Her name is Carmen, and she invited me to come speak about the youth. Since it was Youth Sunday, I gave it my best shot. So here's the message. Let me know what you think, and enjoy.
Just you can say amen afterwards. Yes. I love that. You know why I love this kind of church is because I grew up heathen. For those of you who don't know what that means, I didn't know God from a hole in the ground. The only time we ever heard Jesus' name is when my dad stubbed his toe. That was it. So when I came to God, I was searching big time. Anybody come to God searching big time? Okay. I was a young whippersnapper. I was in high school. And I thought there has to be something more than this. I'd gone through a whole bunch of really bad stuff. It was not fun. And I just was searching. And I decided to get up early one morning and sneak to church. Because I didn't want my parents to know. I mean, who would want your parents to know you're going to church? I mean, they might say something weird. Well, anyway, I got up really early, put on a pair of slacks, wrinkled, and a shirt. I got in my Ford Pinto hatchback. You remember those? Ooh, yeah. With the wood paneling on the side. Ooh, I was styling. Had a realistic cassette deck in the middle of the car, and I'd plug in Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I drove to town about 7 miles in, and I drove up to the Presbyterian Church because it's the only church I knew about. And I walked in, and it was quite an experience. I was attacked like a meat in a piranha cage. A young person, because mostly everybody there wasn't. And I was a novel idea for the next few weeks because I came back, finally told my parents I was going to church, and I thought they were going to freak out and hit me or something, but they didn't. They went, well, that's good for you, Rick. That's great. Kind of. And so my journey began all the way to the fact that they asked me to lead their youth at the Presbyterian Church. I didn't even know Jesus, and they asked me to lead their youth group. I said, no, I don't really think I can do that. And then they said, well, we'll pay you $25 a month. I said, I'm there. I could buy more cassette tapes. You don't even know what cassette tapes are, do you? Oh, you do. Okay, good, good. Yeah. Anyway. Wait till I talk about vinyl. You'll really get a kick out of that. Or 8 tracks. Whoa. Yeah. Well, anyway, long story short, I'll explain a little bit what happened to me there, but let's just put it this way. I found Jesus. He already had found me a long time ago, and I happened to find Jesus while I was leading a bunch of kids. I'll tell you the story in a moment, but I'll never forget the impact that made upon my life as a young person, because everything started to change. Everything that I thought about, the way that I looked at things changed, and it was such an amazing process, and I'll never forget it changed enough that later on in life when I was youth pastoring full-time, we took a whole busload of kids down to Mexico on a mission trip. It was a 1969 Zulag bus without air conditioning. And we drove from Aberdeen all the way to Tijuana. Let me tell you, that is an experience. I've never smelled anything quite like it. But we got down there, and for the very first time, I got to preach in a Mexican church with an interpreter. Let me tell you, that is no, have you done that? Had it different. First of all, you have to cut your sermons in half because everything you say gets repeated by somebody and you can't understand a word they're saying. What an experience that was, but it was fantastic. Loved it. You know that people all over the world, there is a universal language called the Holy Spirit. And he can speak to the hearts of anybody, regardless if you have an interpreter or not. But I'll never forget this one story that I thought was so funny. Because it's really hard. If you don't speak their language, it's very hard to get across. My jokes don't work in Mexico. Of course, if you ask my wife, they don't work here either. But that's beside the point. Well, anyway, I'll never forget this story because I was so nervous about preaching. I was getting ready to go up there, and this story came back to me right before that. I thought, oh, why did I think of that? There was this meeting going on in Mexico, and the preacher was getting pretty excited. He was getting worked up. I mean, he was shouting and having a good time, and the interpreter's shouting and having a good time and everything. And they go to the altar call, and he brings all these people up. And what he wanted to do What he wanted to do was pray for more fire. Now, he was so excited. Fire, give them fire, Lord. And he thought he was getting pretty good at learning their language. And so they're all at the altar, and he begins to pray, and he's laying hands on them, going down the line, and he's praying for them, and he keeps saying, more huevo, 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 huevo. Finally, the interpreter gets him aside and says, look, you're praying for them to have more eggs. He was supposed to say fuego, that's fire, but he was saying huevo. So anyway, really important that you know the language, or at least have a really good interpreter. And that brings me to my point this morning. Did you know that our mission field is not only other countries? Did you know that? It's other cultures within our country as well. And do you know you can't reach a people group without knowing how they communicate? See, we have it all backwards. We think, well, they'll just have to accept the way we do it because we've done it this way all the time. I mean, come on. Look at us. They're not going to accept that. In fact, most of them won't. Maybe a few. But the culture in general isn't going to listen unless you speak their language. I really tried hard. I went back to Mexico many times and tried to learn. I learned Bequito, SPM. I can't even say it. I just said SPM. No, I did not learn little sports. See, I can't even do it anymore, but I tried to learn some of their language out of respect for their culture, and it was amazing when I would use Spanish, they all of a sudden would respond in such a greater way. See, I believe the youth today have a culture that is really uncomfortable for some of us older folks. Am I right? Sure. The music they listen to, what is that? The way they communicate, I don't know. This is weird. I mean, what in the world? Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting a text message. Just a second. That's how they communicate. Used to be email, not anymore. Now it's a text message or an instant message or Facebook. It's true, isn't it? Scariest thing in the world when your mom is your friend on Facebook. You know that if you click the ignore button enough times, she's going to figure that out. I finally let my mom be my friend. Ah, gee. Unfortunately, though, the church has really done a poor job of speaking the language of the youth. We really have. We've refused to change and speak their language. And as a result, more and more youth are not going to church. They don't want to go to church. But as a seasoned saint, let's just say this. Our duty to the next generation is not to just tolerate their ways, but to embrace them and love them, to believe in them. Nothing speaks greater than believing in someone. Have you noticed that? Do you think about the people in your life that you remember from your youth? And which ones do you really appreciate and remember the most, the ones that believed in you? In fact, we have a shortage, especially in church sometimes, of people that believe in the younger generation because we don't like the way they are. And I know it gets real quiet. This is a lot like the Presbyterian church right here.
What?
It gets real quiet. If you're taking notes today, in fact, I would really recommend you do because I have some really cool things for you to write down. Grab a pen and I think in your bulletin you can write on the back. Number one, the message that we preach is sacred. But let me tell you, the method is not. We need to think about that for a moment. We may be very stuck on the way we think it should be preached or told or presented. But let me say this, as long as we don't compromise the morality or our morality, or compromise the gospel for the sake of preaching it, and we stick to the word of God, then we're safe. But we need to be creative in the way that we present the message of salvation. If we don't get creative, folks, it's not going to work. In fact, you can look at what's going on around us, and you can tell that there's some young people that really have no desire at all to come into a church. That's sad. The church should be the coolest place ever. It really should be a place where they can dream, where they can be believed in and supported, where they can hear a message of hope that they desperately need to hear. Aren't you glad that you got saved? We have a whole other generation that needs to do that too. And they need to teach their kids, and their kids need to teach their kids, and so on. If Jesus tarries, they need to hear. I remember when I was sitting in my office at the Presbyterian Church on a Sunday, and I got this phone call. I pick it up. It's a lady named Jill Nicholson from the Puyallup YMCA. This is back when the YMCA actually had things that had Jesus in them. Whoop, did I just say that? Anyway, some YMCAs are different than others. But in this particular one, they had a mission to tell the kids about Jesus. And they invited a rock and roll band, of all things, to come and do a concert. And they invited me to bring my kids to the concert. And I said, rock and roll? I'm there. So we raised the money. We got the tickets. We rented the van from Whitney's in Montesano. We all jumped in. We drove up to the concert, and I prepped them on the way. We listened to Twisted Sister. We're not gonna take it. You know, that's a nice rebellious in the church van. Yeah. We get all the way up there. We get out of the van, and I taught them. Now, here's the deal. In the line, some goofy stuff can happen. Just hang on to everything. You'll be okay. As soon as we get through the door, we run as fast as we can to the very front of the stage so that you can touch them when they come out on stage. This is before the mosh pit. A mosh pit now, I need to explain this, is a place where everybody gets together right in the front and they all like get really close and they jump up and down and hurt themselves. That wasn't the case back then. That was a long time ago now, but I taught them well. So we stood in line, and when they opened the doors, the kids went to go run and everything, and they said, hey, 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 hold on, hold on. All the people were nice. There was no green fog over the top of the ticket place. You understand what that means if you went to any concerts that weren't Christian. That wasn't there. And when we got in, they were saying, excuse me, pardon me, excuse me, pardon me. I'm like, what is this? My kids ran like maniacs, the only ones that did, got to the very front along with me. I look like a, well, never mind. I get all the way to the front. The concert starts. The first band comes on, and they were the most horrible thing I'd ever heard in my life. And the kids are going, can we go home? I'm like, oh, this is great. The lead singer couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. So anyway, we suffer through it, and somebody behind me poked me in the shoulder and said, don't worry, the next band's really good. Well, lights go down, fog rolls out on the stage, and I'm like, ooh, that's cool. And the green light shines down, and out from the green fog comes this guy with long, stringy hair and leather pants. I'm like, I'm like the church? Cool. And he starts playing electric guitar, and he plays this solo. I mean, it's just awesome. I'm just standing there with my mouth open. And he plays it, picks it up. Now, I know this sounds really weird, and excuse me for saying this, but he plays it with his tongue. Now, you've got to understand that if you're into rock and roll and you see somebody do that, that's pretty cool. And then he takes it down, and the one thing that was different about all the things that I'd ever seen, he looked at us and smiled. Nobody smiles playing rock and roll. What is this? Needless to say, the band kicks in. This guy comes out. He starts singing. 20 minutes into the set, he sits down, and he shares the gospel. Sang all about Jesus. And guess what? When he gave the altar call, half of my kids from the youth group went up, and I said the prayer at my seat because I was too embarrassed to go forward. But I got saved. I got saved. The youth leader got saved. We didn't listen to Twisted Sister on the way home. We talked about what happened to us. And our lives were changed. Because when you come face to face with the reality of what Jesus has done for you, changes everything. It doesn't matter how old you are. It matters where your heart is at. And I could have sworn that he just spoke that message just for me because my heart was beating out of my chest. You ever been that way? When you're like, oh my gosh, it's God. God is talking to me. Even though he's talking to the person next to you and the person, that's God. See, the message should be all about a relationship, not a religion. And sometimes I think we get it backwards in church and we preach the message of church. Church won't save you. Now, there's nothing wrong with church. Church is great, but it should enhance your relationship with Christ. Jesus should be first. And the reason we have problems with evangelism is because we're out there preaching church instead of preaching Jesus. Jesus will save anybody, anywhere, anytime. And then when you come to church, it's a wonderful experience to enjoy learning about him and fellowshipping and worshiping with the rest of the folks. That's great. But Jesus comes first. So it's not about religion and going through the motions. It's about a relationship. It's like when I married my wife. I said, I do. Remember that? That was a great day. Whew. I got a great deal. She, however, I don't know how you ever have put up with me. We're going to be married for 24 years coming up in June. That's exciting. Yeah, very exciting. But can you imagine if I just went through the motions with Amy for 24 years? Guess what? We wouldn't have much of a relationship. We'd have a religion, but not a relationship. And you know how many people come to the altar at church and they say a prayer, but they don't really mean it, and they walk out, and then they wonder, why is my life like this? It's the same as coming to the altar saying, I do, and never talking to your wife again. That's not how it works. See, it's not about once a week. It's about every minute. The Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, I hope you brought your Bible with you. Romans chapter 10, check this out. It says in chapter 10, verse 13, for everyone, everybody say everyone,
everyone,
who calls upon the name of the church shall be saved. Oh, wait a second. It doesn't say that. What does it say? Everyone who calls upon the name of the
Lord
shall be saved. Wow. That's something, isn't it? That means no matter what you've done, where you've been, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Whew. That's powerful. That means we're all in the same boat, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever age we are, whatever culture we come from, we're in the same boat. All of us that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is so important to remember. Again, church should enhance our relationship with Christ. Christ alone saves us by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. So we need to think like Jesus thought, and we need to use everyday things to point out eternity. How many know that Jesus used stories? Sometimes you hear these people like, oh, church shouldn't be entertaining. You shouldn't laugh in church. You know what? I bet Jesus was an awesome storyteller. In fact, I've read many of his stories that he tells. They're really good, especially for that culture and that time. He used things in their culture to explain the kingdom of God. He was preaching to farmers. He was preaching to fishermen. He was preaching to the high monkey mucks in the high church. He used the culture of the time to explain the kingdom of God. How many know that if Jesus does that, that's a pretty good method and formula? And that's how we should preach the gospel. We should use the culture in which we're in to explain the kingdom of God so that they can experience it. Sometimes that means letting go of what we feel comfortable with and going with something that we don't. Besides, if we continue to use the technology and the method that we did 30 years ago and say, well, it worked then when I was a boy, this is how it was done. Well, that's great, and I'm so glad that you have a relationship, but you're not a boy anymore. You're a man. And guess what? The kids have a whole different way of looking at things now. And unless we embrace that, and I don't say that we have to like it, but unless we embrace it, we're not going to reach them. We're going to have the same results. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, thinking you're going to get the same results. I mean, getting new results. That's insane. Do you know what I mean, though? I mean, you can't do the same thing over and over and think that it's always going to work, especially with God. I mean, you look through the whole Old Testament and you watch how God, you know, God is the same every single time. But you notice that how he always goes forward. He's always going forward because he loves people. And we should be the same. And wake up to that. God's love crosses all cultural boundaries. You can write that. That's a good one to write down. God's love crosses all cultural boundaries. Every barrier God can cross. There isn't a place that God can't get if we let him. And let me say this. Folks that are older than 25, I won't have you raise your hand. And because there's nothing wrong with being older. I like being older. It's very fun. keeps me from doing really stupid things because I have a little more experience. Wish I just felt like I was 20 again. That's all. But let me tell you this. Kids don't care what you have to say to them unless they know you care about them. When was the last time you actually prayed for the youth in your church? You personally. When was the last time you woke up and thought, you know, I remember that one person's going on a mission trip, that one kid's going on a mission trip, or I remember that one kid's going to be leading this Sunday, or they got that sports thing coming up. When was the last time you just bowed your head for a moment and prayed for them? See, I know, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on it, but a lot of times we just forget. If they're not our kid, whatever. But guess what? They are our kids. They're in our family. We're part of a family, and we're supposed to pray for them. When have we prayed for the young people in the churches in our world? See, kids need to be encouraged and mentored by a relationship that is right before them. Well, let me ask you, kids, when was the last time you prayed for those adults that hassle you all the time? Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, whoa, wait a second. Do you know that God loves a multi-generational church? Loves it. He loves it. Because, see, guys, you can learn from the folks that have already gone before you. And folks that have already gone before, you can mentor these kids. All they need is somebody to believe in them and love them. Not to judge them, but to believe in them and love them. All right. Mark chapter 11. Would you turn there? We can tell stories all day, but you know what? The best thing in the whole wide world is the Word of God. Man, there's just nothing like it. I remember one time I got on this kick as I was just preaching. I'd use like one scripture in my sermons. And after a while, they just got flat and yucky and weird. And I'm like, nobody's remembering. And then I realized, somebody pointed out, they said, well, you know, this is a church. You're supposed to be preaching the Word, the Bible. You know, I watch some Christian stuff that labels itself Christian. And I think, that's not Christian. This is a bunch of weird stories. We need to get back to the Word. The Word of God is what brings life. And it's the thing that will open our hearts. So if you're in Mark chapter 11, verse 13, watch how Jesus treated children. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and blessed them. Okay, folks, get this. You ready? You can write this down. Children are not an inconvenience to Jesus. In fact, they are a priority. I love to see youth leaders with passion to lead the youth and to take them on experiences that will get them closer to God. I love when I talked to Carmen on the phone and I heard her heart and she's just like, oh, these kids, they just need to know God. And I'm like, this is awesome. You know what? You need to support this lady right here. Seriously. She does a job that, let me tell you, after doing youth pastoring for over 20 years, she does a job that is not easy. You think all they do is have fun? Hey, how many have ever raised teenagers? Okay, now amplify that by about 20. Okay, she really needs your support. Pray for her. And not just pray for her, but let me just say this. Can I have the liberty to say something real quick? If you're here and you know the struggle and the importance of teaching young people and helping them experience God's power, if you know that, would you do me a favor and would you talk to her and say, you know what, I'll help with some. So it's so easy to write a check, and that's nice. It's nice to get money. So easy to say, yeah, that was really good. So much better to get involved. Because then you get to use part of the thing that God put on the inside of you to help them. So if she needs help, I don't know where she's at with that, but if she needs help, help her. Is that okay to say that? It's all right. Support them. Children are not an inconvenience. So I don't think that the Bible is written by accident in the way that it's written, in the order that it's written. Watch this. As soon as he's done laying hands on the kids and telling the disciples, oh, come on, you guys. Maybe Jesus didn't talk quite like that, but I bet he did. I bet he was like, what? What? Let them come here. Peter, what are you thinking? I'm embellishing now. But okay, here they come, and he lays hands on them. He loves them. And then it says, as Jesus started on his way, so he's all done blessing the children, he starts on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a big question. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared. Now, this is impossible, but he says it anyway. I have kept all these since I was a boy. Wow, give this guy a medal. Well, it's Pass the Torch is the name of the message today. So give this guy an Olympic gold medal for sinless life. You did it all right, my friend. Well, Jesus knows he didn't do all of that. He thinks he did, though. He was actually deceived. Now watch what, this is great. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Now, I would have been ticked off if I was Jesus and I knew that this guy really hadn't done that, but he was trying to, you know, get eternal life for, you know, free. I might have been a little ticked. But it says Jesus loved him. And you know that word loved is agape, loved him. Loved him unconditionally. He knew. He knew. Jesus knows. When we come and go, I'm so good, God. I'm so glad I'm not like that person over there. Oh, bless me, bless me, bless me. And Jesus goes, I love you. Even though we know we do things that are really off base. He loves us. And watch this. One thing you lack, he said. I love how Jesus just gets right down to it. He said, go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Well, if there was music to that soundtrack, it would have been dun-dun-dun-dun. Because he thought about all the things that he owned and all the things that had him instead of him having the things, like a lot of us do. And we thought, oh, that's not going to work. And this man's face fell. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus just told him how he could have eternal life. And he rejected it and left because the things owned him. Jesus looked around it and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the Bible translators and stuff mark this the rich young ruler, but it could be any one of us. Because it doesn't mean you have had a lot of money to be rich. We live in a country where all of us are rich, even if we don't have a lot. But the question is, do the things have you? Do the things have you so much that you can't see the next culture ahead of you, the next generation? It is possible to think we've done all that we can and be in complete denial and error. See, we mix up our own personal motives with what we're truly doing. You know why? You can write this down. We judge ourselves by our intentions, while the people around us judge us by our actions. Well, I wanted to help with that. Well, I know they were doing this one thing and I could have helped, but I sent them a check. Well, I really wanted to do that, but you know, oh, come on. I don't relate to kids. Huh. Interesting. See, people, they judge us by our actions. We think, hey, I thought it was good, so, you know, I'm okay. I can justify it. Are we clinging to our traditions and the way that it's always been? Or are we clinging to Jesus? See, you can't pass the torch if you're not willing to run. Anybody watch the Olympics? Sure. All sorts of fun stuff on there. Well, I really, quite honestly, I don't really like the Olympics, but I won't. Did I just say that in front of everybody? Yeah, but we end up watching it every night. My life likes figure skating. My wife likes figure skating. You know, they're doing all their things. I say, one time you've seen that, you've seen it, you know, and if somebody falls, everybody goes, ooh, and then you watch again. Whatever, if that is that exciting for you, great. But the beginning ceremonies, the guys are running with their torch. And they're running. They cannot run all that distance themselves. They have to pass it on. And folks, we have a mission from God to reach this planet for Jesus. That's our great commission. And if we don't pass the torch on to the next generation, their flame won't be lit. But we got to run. That's my point. We got to run. You're in a relay race. You're just part of the team. There's a whole lot more going on. It's not just about us. And we need to get away from that and think, you know, it's not about me, 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 me. It's about you, and them. Pass the torch. You ready? T-O-R-C-H. Now you really can write this down because I didn't put this together just for fun. T, you ready? Talk to them. Talk to the youth in your church and in your community. Talk to them. How many times do you go by them on a Sunday morning and say, oh, that, kids. Talk to them. You'd be amazed. They'll talk back, won't you? Sure. It's fun when people talk to you. Don't yell at them. Talk to them. T for torch. Talk to them. Oh, you ready? Open your life to them. You would be surprised at how much they would be interested in what you do if you opened your life to them. R, realize their potential in Christ. Guess what? You were a teenager once too. Do you remember that? Maybe that may be hard. You were a teenager as well yourself. Realize the potential they have in Jesus, because Jesus can use anybody, and he does. C, care about them. You know one of the best ways you can care about a kid? You can write them a note. You can send them an email. That sounds goofy. I'm not going to send an email to some kid I don't know. Well, that's my point. Have a relationship with them. Talk with them. Get to know them. And then find out what they're doing. And then support them. If you know they're going on a mission trip, or they're going to be doing this special outreach thing, you know what the coolest thing in the world is? Sit down, write a check out for $25, $50, $100, put it in an envelope with their name on it, say, you know what? I'm praying for you, and I think this is going to be great for you. Love, so-and-so. And then at church, you give them the Christian handshake. You know what that is. It's with the money right inside of here. And you go up and you give them a little shake, and they go, what's this? Oh, it's something to bless you. And then they open it up later, and most of them will go, and be filled with the love of God. That gives me goosebumps just saying that. Fantastic stuff. You can do that. And then last but not least, H, help them. Give them your time. Give them money. Give them help with mission trips, with school activities. The best thing you can ever do is know their name and pray for them. Help them. I call this the tale of two grandmas. I had two grandmas. One grandma believed in me, and the other hardly ever talked to me. One grandma inspired me to be who I am today. The other one didn't ever really know what was going on in my life. Now, one of them I had a great relationship with. And even though she didn't like my music or my goofy things that I did, she loved me. And I'll never forget the impact she had on my life. The other one recently passed away, lonely, mad at everybody. See, how do we pass the torch? We need to love the next generation. And the next generation, you need to love the elders in your church. And I'm not just talking about position of elder. I'm talking about people that are older than you. You know, they may seem weird sometimes, and they got this issue about that, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They've been before where you're at. It's surprising when you know what the best thing you could do? Ask them questions. They love to talk about their life. Don't you? And then, since they ask, then you can tell them about your life. It's amazing what happens in a multi-generational church. Folks, we need to celebrate the youth in our church, not just tolerate them. How many people know when you're just being tolerated? Mm-hmm. Celebrate them. I make it my goal to be the oldest living youth pastor because it's not about the age that I am. It's about the heart of people. Make it your goal to celebrate young people. And young people, make it your goal to celebrate the older folks. It'll change the way you live. It will. Don't be afraid of their culture or their technology. It won't kill you. It won't. Just put up with it. It's okay. As long as it's not distracting from the gospel, it's all right. Let them text. Not in church, mind you. But let them text and let them Facebook and let them do all these different, let them download podcasts and show you how to. It's really cool. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace them, and as you do, you'll learn about their culture. But it's about them. I'm going to close with this. There was this lady that was a youth pastor over on the East Coast. And nobody could figure out in the town why she had the biggest youth group in town. She had this massive youth group. She wasn't hip like all the other youth pastors with their youth pastor boots and their cool little shirts. And they were all with the fashion and all this different stuff. And they had the coolest music and all this. Everybody's like, oh. This lady was heavier set, and she wore a muumuu. A muumuu. It's a big Hawaiian dress, brightly colored. And you know what? She had the biggest youth group. Do you know why? They called her the muumuu lady, and she didn't mind. Because she went to their sporting events. Because she went to their homes. She loved them. She'd take them out for lunch. She gave her life for those kids. See, the kids didn't care about the hip, cool clothes or the hip, cool videos that were on the screen. They loved being cared for. You know what? I challenge you. Be the muumuu lady. I suffer with that. I think, well, nobody's going to like me. I got this weird spiky hair, these goofy glasses, and I'm a geek. But you know what? Muumuu lady. I care about you. I care about youth. And somehow they know that. What about us? See, it's all about Jesus. We need to be multi-generational. The last thing before we pray, I'll never forget this. This was such a pivotal moment in youth ministry for us. I had a group of young people that I was working with, and they were just really getting passionate about God. And there was an elder in the church that thought, I don't know about all this stuff. I mean, your music is loud and crazy. You take over the sanctuary on a certain night, and it's all different, and you know. It's okay to share this. Okay. And I'll never forget, one day, these kids were with me, and we decided to have a little prayer session, and they wanted to turn on music from, I think, a Choir of the Fire was the place that we had gone to, and with Ron Luce, the Teen Mania Ministries. And they had a CD out that was like taking hymns and kind of updating them to, today's, type of sound. And I had put that on the stereo system in the church, and we had a fairly large system with a subwoofer under the stage. I like that. Anyway, it was playing away, and they're actually at the altar. These are teenagers now. They're at the altar on their face before God. Now, that was rare, number one. But number two, they were really seriously crying out to God. And that elder happened to be stopping by the church that day, and he came in and he heard the music and he started to get upset, and he came and found me. And he said, I'm telling you, that's sacrilegious. It's booming music coming out of the sanctuary. And he's getting all red in his face. And I'm like, and then I said, did you look in the sanctuary? No. I said, come here. And I just thought, I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to fight. And we walk over. He looks in and he sees the teenagers on the ground praying. And I'll tell you, I get emotional thinking about this. He just went, oh. And we walked back to the pastor's office and we sat down for a moment. And he went from being red to going back to normal. And he didn't have much to say. Because you see, real life-giving worship silences the critics. Because it's not about the method. It's about the message. It's about God. That changed everything. Changed everything. All of a sudden, everybody started getting on board, and the youth group grew. Go figure. But when you're willing to let go of your tradition long enough to let the kids worship the Lord, everything will change. Everything. And I know it's challenging. It's not easy for me now. I think the music that they listen to is strange now too. Oh my gosh, I'm over 40. But how amazing it is. Would you stand with me this morning? I'd love to be able to pray together. Did you get anything out of today? Amen. Okay. You never know. My challenge to you, every person in this room, all the way from the youngest person to the oldest, pass the torch. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, pass the torch. Let's pray. Lord, right now, we repent. We turn around, we go the other way from what we were thinking, and we surrender and we commit to sharing the gospel with our actions, not just our words. And Lord, we commit to loving the youth or the folks that are older than us in our lives and supporting them on their mission to reach the world. Jesus, please help us to love people like you, unconditional, even when we're faced with hard situations, even when we're faced with something we're uncomfortable with. God, would you just grab a hold of our hearts and let us be a multi-generational church that reaches this world for you. That's our prayer, to pass the torch. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Dan.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the message. Let me know what you think. Email me, rick@takehimwithyou.com. Thanks again to the Mackenzie Road Baptist Church in Olympia. You guys are awesome. What a great congregation.